Well, hello and welcome to Life Well Loved Live. I'm James Marriott. I am the host of Bella and Duke's podcast, which is called Life Well Loved, hence the name Life Well Loved Live. So every month we will be going live right here in Bella and Duke's Facebook group with a guest, and we will delve into a topic. We'll talk about something interesting that's going on. I'm going to introduce our guest in a moment. Now, first of all, you might be one of the very lucky people that are catching this show live on Facebook. You might be watching a replay of it. You might be listening to the podcast version that we're going to release afterwards. However you've arrived here, hello, welcome along. Great to have you with us. Let me introduce our guest. Please welcome. I'm gonna absolutely destroy your name here, so I apologize. I'm going to try and do this without it sounding like I'm doing like a really sarcastic Welsh accent. Neres.
I wasn't far away.
Welcome along. The real star of the show today is just, I can just see there in the corner. So that's Pink.
This is Pink.
So hello, Pink.
Pink tries to be as close to me as she possibly can. So at some point I might need to eject her out of the room because she's getting hot to lean in against me.
Oh, she's very cute. So Pink really is the star of the show today for a few reasons, partly because she's just lovely, but because what we're talking about today is about Crufts, which starts, I think it's just under a week, isn't it, until Crufts starts. Yeah. And Pink is taking part in Crufts. It's very exciting. So tell us what Pink's taking part in Crufts. Let's be a little bit more specific then. What's the category?
Okay, so Pink is taking part in the Rally Obedience competition, which is held in Hall 5 on Thursday at Crafts. We're in the Welsh team, and we are working level 5. So in Rally, there's 6 levels. So Pink is working level 5 this year. It's the first time Pink has competed at Crafts. She went up there last year to receive an award, which was lovely. Yes, right. You did, didn't you? And she absolutely loved it up there. So last year she was top scoring dog for Rally Obedience for level 1 and 2 in the country. This year she's third for level 3 and 4. So she's a great little dog and she just loves training. The team will be in Hall 5 for the full day. So there's every region of the country, Scotland, North Island, everyone will be there competing against each other. So it's a great event.
That's awesome. That's very exciting. Tell us a little bit more about for anyone that's never seen it before, what does Rally Obedience involve?
Okay, so Rally Obedience is a course of between 10 and 18 exercises. So it's laid out a bit like an agility course in the sense of there are stations around the ring and they're all numbered. So at each station, you'll perform the exercise. So in Rally Obedience, there's over 80 exercises. So there's 6 levels that people can work at. If you go to a rally show, there's also special classes. So you might have a theme, or they might be that you team up with other people and you'll have like a relay. There's also a veteran class now as well, which I think used to be in the specials, but now is his own class as of this year. So that's nice. So older dogs can compete in it as well. So it's open to dogs of all ages. It's a great mix of exercises. So you could do things like sits and downs and stands as basic, and weaving round cones, calling your dogs through distractions, weaving around distractions, sending them to mats, retrieves, going over jumps, changes of paces, so fast pace, slow pace. And there's just lots to keep the dog. Are you getting a bit hot? There's lots to keep the dog entertained and there's lots for them to learn. It's all about encouragement, so you're never penalised for encouraging your dog, telling them that they're good, You can reward them with a hand touch in the ring. It's really a nice little sport to do with your dogs. And everything that's in the exercises you can teach in your house. So you don't have to put a whole course out. You can train little bits in your kitchen, and it all adds up then for when you're training for a bigger course.
How does all this kind of thing begin then? So does this start with you realizing that, I don't know, Pink was just very good at doing what she was told? Or did you think, oh, let's see whether or not I can get her to follow instructions so that maybe we could enter competitions? At what point did you think, oh, she's quite good at this?
I've done obedience since I've been quite young. I probably started going to obedience classes with my dogs when I was about 12, 13 maybe. So it's something I've done for a long time. I had a go at my first rally competition in 2014, and that was just a one-off. It was at an obedience show, so I entered to have a go. I quite enjoyed it, but there weren't that many shows around the country at the time. There weren't that many competitions. So in, I think it was 2019, one of my dogs is reactive. He doesn't cope very well in obedience shows. He's also got a bit of a weird phobia about dead things, in the sense of like things like hooves and like pig's ears and things like that. So it's a bit of a strange one. So if he goes to a show and there's a stall selling those things, he just has a meltdown. He can't cope. It's a problem.
Really?
Yeah. So at rally shows, they don't tend to have these stalls. I thought, I'm going to give this a go and see if he enjoys it, because he loves the training. So I was going along, and there's some shows that he couldn't cope with. And I thought, he loves doing it, but I'm driving a long way sometimes. And Taryn decides that he doesn't want to compete. So I thought, I got other dogs to compete with, so I'm going to start entering them. And Pink was one of those dogs, and she absolutely loves it. So she started off doing her obedience, which she still does. But she absolutely loves rally as well. So I think she just likes doing anything that she has interactions with me. As you can see, she's wedged under my arm. She just absolutely loves doing anything that involves using her brain and getting on with stuff. She's a dog that likes doing.
Right. How do you practice for something like this?
So I go to classes. I teach classes as well. So what I initially done with rally, because I wanted to get a good understanding of how everything works, I did the rules and regulations course just so I could get a better understanding, because I knew it was something that my classes would love to do as well. So I started off doing that, and it's just a progression on with us from puppy classes, and then we start teaching things like the heel work and teaching the weights and going through distractions and the jumps. So it's just a general progression on from training. And any training for any dog is really good, because it improves your relationship and hopefully improves their behaviour as well. So it's win-win.
If anyone is tuned into the live stream and does have any questions that they'd like to ask, feel free to pop them in the comments. I've got a few things coming in, which I'll run through in a bit. We did ask a couple of days ago on the Facebook group for any questions in advance. Kirsty, I probably actually slightly stolen Kirsty's thunder a little, actually, in the question that I just asked. But Kirsty asked, what's your training routine in preparation for a big competition? But I suppose there's some relevancy there in terms of what you're just less than a week away now. What does the next week look like? Do you have to start kind of like ramping up training and early starts and things like that?
So we went training last night and we had a really good session. So I was really pleased with that. So I don't think she'll get much better than what we did last night. So it's just a case of just doing a bit of maintenance now. The biggest nemesis I think we got is, because Pink has done obedience for so long. She's been taught to heel next to me, and we've been training jumps, and she's been finding that a bit difficult because she's saying to me, hang on a minute, you've asked me now for 9 years to walk next to you, and now you want me to go over a jump? So that's been our nemesis. So I'm hoping on the day of crafts she will just go over it. I'll be keeping my fingers crossed behind my back. So we'll maintain doing that training, and everything else we'll just be just keeping on top of. I got a training session on Saturday now, and that'll probably be my last big training session. And then we'll just be doing like short sessions and keeping them fun and keeping her happy. And she's in the bubble wrap now. So she's not going out hooling around with the rest of the dogs now until after crafts, because they are a bit rough and ready, and they do like charging around when they're out. So she's seen a chiropractor on Tuesday because she slipped in the reservoir last week and gave a bit of a yelp. So I thought, oh my gosh, what is this? But she's all fixed now.
That's good. Does she have like naughty days sometimes where she just will not do what she's told?
I gotta say, Pink doesn't really. She's
that's
a good girl.
Good. Just in case you don't want one of those days to be the day you were at Crufts. And this is relevant actually to a question that Jude asked, which is, how do you keep her focused when there's, I imagine at these kind of competitions, you've got a lot of other dogs around, there's a lot of stuff going on, lots of colours, people, flashing lights, TV cameras, but lots of other dogs as well, which I guess means lots of, you know, kind of new smells and all kinds of stuff that's going on. There must be so many potential distractions.
So when I have my puppies or my older dogs, what I do with them straight away when we're doing training is we do loads of, one of the biggest things I always say in my puppy class is that you can do for your dogs, that the best thing you can do for your dogs is take them out into the world and just sit and watch the world go by. And that in itself will help your dog to realise that everything going on around you is just a bit boring, and the excitement comes when you start doing stuff with your dogs, and it's just basic socialization really. And it's, people get so wrong sometimes, thank you Pink, people get so wrong sometimes by exposing their dogs to things that they aren't ready for, and putting them in situations they can't cope with. So I'm a big advocate for letting them just sit and watch the world go by and let them just take in everything around them. And when they're at that point where they're comfortable, then you can start doing your bits of training with them then. So they don't see other dogs and everything that goes on up in crafts, like the sights and the sounds. They don't see that as a distraction because they just... like, yep, that's boring, but we are having so much fun together.
That's awesome. Beth has a question that's, I guess, to do with nerves. Crufts is huge, isn't it? It's just, you know, everyone, whether you're interested in animals, pets, dogs, everyone's heard of Crufts. Everyone knows about it. It's such a big event, I guess, worldwide, not just here. How do you feel that you'll deal with those nerves and that pressure that comes from the fact that, you know, it's there on the TV?
I'm hoping this year I'm going to be okay. So the most nervous I've been up in crafts was when I was showing a dog in the breed ring. I think it was just a bit out of my comfort zone. But I've been fortunate I've been on the Welsh team once with my Welsh Springer, Finn, and twice with Pink's daughter, Mina. And I've got to say, I wasn't nervous at all. And I think it's because that you get to that point in your training that I'm just thinking, watch what we've worked for over the last couple of months. And just, it's a bit of just showing off what we can do. And because it's something I've done for so long, it's in my comfort zone. So I'm hoping I feel the same this year with Pink. I might not on the day, but I'm hoping it's just a case of right, we've done our training and we've done as much as we can up to this point, so let's just enjoy the day and hopefully it all goes well. And if it doesn't, we couldn't have done any more than what we've done. So I'm hoping that the nerves will be the same as they were the last couple of times I've been up there. Fingers crossed.
That's brilliant. We've got loads of really nice messages that have been coming in. Hi to Kia, who says, go pink. Julie saying hello, wishing you the very best of luck. A few people actually commenting about the really adorable way that she keeps looking up at you with these, I mean, I'm going to call them puppy eyes. But yeah, Nicola comment on that as well, and the way that Pink poses with you, which is amazing. Question here from Julie asking about age. Is age relevant, or is it just ability?
Yeah, so to compete in obedience, rally obedience, your dog has got to be registered with the kennel club. So it doesn't matter if you've got a crossbreed, any breed can do it. So you can register them on the activity register and any breed can do it. So they've got to be 6 months old to do levels 1 and 2. And then because level 3 has a jump in it, from level 3 onwards, they've got to be over 12 months old. And that's to make sure that they're not too young going over the jumps. But from 6 months old, but I start training my dogs as soon as I have them. So we do little bits of just play training and the training starts immediately. I don't wait until they're 6 months old to start doing it. We start straight away, don't we?
Bless her. Misha's been in touch saying, Pink's absolutely gorgeous. Such a good bond between you. I'm wishing you the very best of luck. Thank you for those comments. Well, let's talk a bit about Bella and Duke. Let's talk about Raw. Where did Raw kind of enter the equation for you and your dogs?
So back in the day, I had a Welsh sheepdog called Harve, and she had some sort of allergy. And her feet were really red and she was losing all her hair between her pads. And I thought, this isn't right. So we'd done a bit of an allergy test on her, and everything that was on there, I thought, there's no way in the world I can find a food that hasn't got all this stuff in it. So I thought, the only thing I can do is feed raw. I thought, that's the only way forward. So I switched Harve on to raw, and it wasn't long, and the redness started going, and the fur started growing back, and it was brilliant. So she stayed on raw. And then, unfortunately, one of my other dogs then was diagnosed with renal failure. So I was looking into dog food and trying to find something that would be suitable for her. I researched quite a lot, and Pink. I think she's trying to get into my skin. I researched quite a lot, and again, I come to the conclusion that the best for her would be raw. So Fleur then went on to raw, and her blood results went from renal failure to high normal. And my vet said to me, he said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. So I thought, right, okay, I know I'm doing well, so I'll just keep doing that. And then I saw how well they were doing on it and thought, well, it's a no-brainer. They all need to go on it. So that's what I did. Everyone switched over. Right. So I think we started feeding Bella and Duke, I think it was about 5 years ago. We changed from a DIY kind of see how we go with Fleur and Harve with their problems to there was more coming on the market then. More like complete foods. But the one I was feeding wasn't really agreeing with the dogs. They were licking. So they were licking their legs. They were licking the table legs. They were licking the furniture. And I thought, that's a sign of digestive discomfort. So I know something's not right. So we switched over to Bella and Duke, and they've done great on it. And Pink's always got... She's always got the stamina to work. She got a lovely off switch at home. She's happy to just lie down and chill out. She hasn't got that edge to her that you see a lot with dogs are fed on dry dog food. She can just switch off. She isn't frantic or manic. She's got a lovely coat. She's glossy-eyed and she's always got a waggy tail on. And our last litter was our first Bellew and Duke litter. And they are all just in such good condition. And because we had four puppies and I accidentally kept two. And so they've been on Bellew and Duke since they've been born. And they just lovely looking dogs, and they're very healthy, and I'm very grateful for that.
That's fantastic. We've only got a couple of minutes left. I have got to ask, I'm aware of the fact that pink is not pink. So where did the name pink come from?
So pink was originally called Meg when I had her, because pink is secondhand. So she came to me when she was 16 weeks old. I was trying to get rid of her for months. So she came to me in January, and I didn't want her because I had my own puppy, which is Taran. So there's 4 weeks between Pink and Taran. So I didn't want to. So I didn't want her because I had my own puppy. I had her to rehome, and the homes that came to me that were suitable just fell through. So I had her in the January, and in the May, I decided, well, she's staying now, isn't she? So I think it was about a month later, we got a dog called Mac as well, who was sleeping in the bed next to me. And Meg, Mac, Meg, Mac, Meg, Mac. I was like, oh, I can't be doing with this. And there was a lady I was friends with through Welsh Sheepdogs who lived in America, and she had a dog called Pink, and I just loved her. And I went up the garden. She was down the bottom of the garden. I just went, Pink. And she just launched up the garden to me. And I thought, yeah, that'll do.
it's as good a reason as any. It's a great name. We've pretty much run out of time, but amazing to chat about it. Please come back and let us know. Tell us all about the day and your Crufts experience. I think I speak on behalf of the all the pack and the whole Bellew and Duke community when I say the very best of luck to both of you, and hope you have a brilliant time at Crufts. Can't believe it's less than a week away, and I will be definitely watching with anticipation to see how you get on.
Thank you. All right, brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you, Neris. Thank you, Pink. Thank you very much for joining us. Well, thank you for tuning in to our first live feed for Life Well Loved Live. That just about wraps us up, actually. Hope you've enjoyed the feed today. As I say, we're always after your ideas for things to cover and guests to chat to, so please do get in touch. Right, have a brilliant weekend. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you again soon.